Good singing. Good job, men. Thank you. Sit down. Hey, my time's running. All right. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here today, and I hope I can see you're glad to be here as well. It's a privilege to be here. Let me jump into this now, and we'll get serious here. Let me tell you a little bit about the story so I can save a few seconds in reading a passage. In Acts 16, if you want to open your Bibles there, Paul and Silas were on the journey. They were going out and preaching from location to location. And they came across, and they were in Macedonia, at Philippi. And a damsel, while they were out witnessing and preaching in the streets, a damsel came upon them that had the spirit of divination. All right, she was a soothsayer. And in other words, she was possessed of a devil. And a damsel is a young woman. So you understand that it doesn't take long to get corrupt by sin. It doesn't take long to be ruined, going astray. Taking one step leads, can open a door till you are so far gone that you serve Satan. And here's a young woman that was in that situation. And of course, she was a slave to some men that made money off of her. Well, they were preaching, and he got tired of listening to her because she told the truth. She said, "These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Very accurate. But the fact of the matter was that she was doing it in a sarcastic way and making light of it. So they didn't want to hear it, and he got tired of it. And he cast the evil spirit out of her. And Paul did. And in Acts 16:9, I want to take up reading there. Look at verse 19 in Acts 16. It says this: "And when the masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and unto the rulers and brought them into the magistrates, saying, 'These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Roman.'" Well, they were telling a little bit of the truth. That, you know, that's not why they cared. They wanted something to go against them because they're losing money. And you want to get men stirred up, you get this world stirred up, you get into their pocketbook and cost them some money, and you're going to have lots of problems more than you want to deal with. But the fact of the matter is, God was with them, and God was leading them in this situation. Verse 22, "And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do ask that you bless the time together now, and I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here. Thank you for the privilege of learning from your word, and help us to grow from it today. Work today, give freedom, I pray, and speak to each individual heart, however the need might be in that life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wrote down the aggressive thoughts here in this passage. Listen to this. They caught them. They brought them. They accused them. The multitude was against them. They rent them. They beat them. They laid many stripes on them. They cast them. They thrust them. They locked them. And I don't know about you, Paul and Silas got into the jail, in the inner part of the jail, and they were locked in stocks. And then it says that midnight, now why they chose to all of a sudden at midnight to start singing and waking everybody up, but maybe it was because if it was me in this situation, about this time, I would be needing an attitude adjustment. I'd be like frustrated, and God, what is the deal here? We're serving you, and we've given our life for you, and we're trying to please you, and things are a positive happening, but what in the world? Because the day turned upside down compared to what they had imagined it would be. And so, but at midnight, they sang and they praised, and they entered in a trial they weren't expecting. You wonder, how did everything go wrong all of a sudden? Did they make some wrong choices? If you look earlier in the passage, in verse 6, it says, "The Holy Spirit forbid them to preach the word in Asia." No, They weren't supposed to go there. They wanted to go there. In verse 7, they wanted to go to Bethania, and the Holy Spirit suffered them not. And then verse 9, Paul had a vision at night. A man from Macedonia stood up and prayed, come over and help us. And in verse 10, Paul said, then immediately they endeavored to go, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them in Macedonia. And so they were being led by the Holy Spirit into this trial. They were going through a trial and a test. Now, we don't know why. I mean, we can learn from it, but at the time, maybe they didn't understand what it was. But what they did, I love. How they chose to respond to this, I love what they did. The Bible says that at midnight, why at midnight? I asked that question earlier, and I just happened to hear on a radio, on our radio station about 6 weeks ago, Les Rolfe said, at midnight, why was it at midnight? Because they had been spending the time winning everyone to Christ in the jails and in the prisons and all. And I thought, I just happened to hear that. I was like, wow, how interesting the thought. Of course he would think that. They were leading everyone there. And it's a great thought. But here in their trial, what they did in the midst of their trials, they prayed, they sang, and gave praise to God, and then God entered in. Let me ask you this real quick question. Right there where they prayed and sang, what major characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit did they show or demonstrate there? What would you say? Anybody? Joy. That's exactly what I think they had. And you imagine, like I said, that'd be difficult. I'd really have to go through some serious adjustments in my attitude to get to joy. And man, that just shows you. But the spirituality and the great Christian that this was. But you know what? God wants every Christian to have joy in trials. He said, count in verse 2 of chapter 1 of James, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Hey, I want to take you to another place in the book of Genesis. A very familiar matter of fact. We read it Monday night at the prophecy conference. We read it because Brother Sexton led us to it. In chapter 12, verse 1, you know the story here. It's very familiar with it. Abraham was called out to leave his home country and then to go to a land which he knew not. And he said, without family, and he said, to go there and I'll give you a home. And I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And I'll bless you, he says. In verse 1, he says, of chapter 12. Now unto the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land where I will show thee. And we know that. We're familiar with that. But what we don't know is the backstory to that. There's a story that happened just prior to that. And I want to share that with you. A trial that happened in his family. The second trial is actually the story of, let me see where I'm in my notes here. It's in chapter 11, it gives a genealogy of Abraham. And look at this in verse 25. Here's his genealogy. And Nahor lived after he begat Terah. Now, Terah is the father of Abraham, all right? And Nahor is his dad. And 119 years and begat sons and daughters. And verse 26, and Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And there's his family. And so it gives us that. But now, in this scripture, Terah is mentioned 9 times. He's mentioned 12 times in the entire Bible, but 9 times in this passage. And he's the center point, the focal point of this passage. Let me tell you a little bit about Terah. Terah had respect for his dad. We know that because he named one of his own boys Nahor. That's his father's name. And so he had respect. He had good relations with his dad. What else do we know about Abraham's dad? That he loved his children. There's no question and doubt about that. You'll see it shortly when I explain something to you about that. And next we know that he followed after God. Let me look at verse 31 here. It says this. Right before that happened, Terah entered the trial. But this is what he did when he entered the trial. He said, Terah took Abram, his son, in verse 31, Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, and his daughter-in-law, and his son, Abram's wife, and they went forth and they from the Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. So here's the story. He enters the trial. What was the trial that happened? His son, in verse 28, look at that. And Haran died before his father, Terah, in the land of the Nativity in Ur of the Chaldeans. So Abraham's brother died, but a parent going through a death of their child, and this was his youngest child. And so that there's always like Joseph was the youngest child until Benjamin became the youngest child, and Isaac would not let Benjamin go to Egypt to be seen so that they would let the other brother go from prison. Why? Because it was his last born child, and it was special. And Haran was the last born child, and this became devastating. So here's the deal. He entered into trial, and that trial became right in front of his face. Could you imagine a death of your child? I can't. We've got one child, my wife and I. And we have loved, that's fine. We wanted more children, but God gave us one, and we just decided to pour our love. And I'm a dad that loves. I'm a dad that disciplines. I'm a dad that gripes. I'm a normal dad, okay? I'm a dad that prays for his child. But I love my son, and to lose him would be devastating. I can't imagine that. And this trial got in him, and he couldn't get over it. As a matter of fact, he was so, it was life-changing to any parent, let alone the last born or any born. Tara struggled and grieved over this. And Tara was overwhelmed by it and couldn't get past it, the pain that he felt from it. And he just decided he needed to get away. He didn't want to stay where the memories were of his son that died. And so he packed up his bags. He took Abram and Sarah and Lot, and his other son, Nahor, just stayed. Because the family started falling apart. Dad wasn't acting normal. Dad was not focusing on what should be done and be ahead. Let me just tell you something here. What do you do when you're in a situation like this? Let me tell you what Paul says to do. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. You have to take a trial like that, life-changing situation. And the Bible also says in Hebrews 12:1, it says, laying aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. Well, it's not just sins that beset you, it's weights. And this a trial can be a weight that comes into your life that if you don't move it aside, and if you don't choose to forget about it. Now, you can't forget about the death of a child, but you can keep forgetting. You can say, let me give an illustration. One of the biggest trials I ever went through before this physical trial that I'm going through currently was when I was a young college student, and I was dating a girl. And matter of fact, I won't say where it was, but it was very close to this location. And I dated this girl, and I liked her, and I asked her out because I liked her. I thought she was very sweet. Well, the fact of the matter is she showed kindness, I showed kindness. And then she showed affection, and I showed affection. And then she showed love, and then I cared about her. I had the human emotion of love, but I got to that point where I was like, God, I don't know is this the love for marriage? Is this the love I'm supposed to have to stay with someone for a lifetime? Because I believe in marriage as for life. It's a commitment. Once married, always married. I don't care if someone becomes 300 pounds or if their teeth fall out. It doesn't really matter. You chose. If you were wise and asked God for his direction, then that's what he wants you to have. By the way, you just go get more teeth. I mean, you can just buy them. They're not that expensive now. But the fact of the matter is, I thought if I went move forward, it could have been a mistake. I thought if I left and didn't, and broke it off, it could be a mistake. I can remember going to boot camp during one summer, and I was the drill sergeant. We get shaved when you go there, and close to where I am now. But the fact of the matter is, you go to boot camp, and they shave you, and you're out there in the Fort Benning, Georgia, and the Georgia heat is massive, and you're getting, they call it smoked by the drill sergeants. That's exercise. And I can remember out there doing the calisthenics, and I'm like, oh, God, get give me the love for her or take her away. Give me your love for her or take her away. And that nighttime, I was tossing and turning with a cue ball head in my bed. God, give me a love for her, take her away. A year and a half, I prayed that. One day, I was in a defensive perimeter in Panama, and it was 3 days out in the jungle, 72 hours consistent, and you'd get rained on. All you had was your poncho and your clothes you had on. That was it. And we were dug in foxholes, and you couldn't even see the other foxholes beside you, but it was beautiful, and the sun was breaking through. I just finished reading my Bible and praying. I was writing a letter, and all of a sudden, God opened up the window of heaven. This is truthful. God opened the window of heaven, poured a love for her in my heart. And I said, I knew immediately I could move forward and get married. I was excited. And as soon as I got back, I started talking to her about when we decided a year from then, when she finished her first year of teaching and I finished another year of college. And by that time, she moved to Fort Benning, Georgia. She moved to Fayetteville, North Carolina, and she met a man in the church, another military man. And I went and tried, and I fought for her back, but I was brokenhearted. And I mean, honestly, I hate to admit it, I wept a tear every day for a year. Well, okay, let me be truthful. I boohooed for a year every day. Okay, it was more than just wept a tear. But the fact of the matter is that as I was going through that, I was going through that with God, and I felt like why it hurt so much was because I knew God's love had been given to me. So He answered the first prayer. He gave me His love for her. Then He answered the second prayer and took her away. I'm like, wow, I don't understand that. You're God answering God. That's a good, you did good. But it was a heavy trial on me. And honestly, here's where I got to. I realized this. I could feel physically it weighing me down. I got to the point where I was like, okay, God, I can only allow myself an hour a day. I'll think about it. I'll pray about it. I'll talk about it. I'll cry about it, whatever. But an hour a day, it's got to go to the side, and then I move on. And so you got to lay aside the weight and so that you can continue reaching forward for what God has for you when you go through a trial. And Tara did not do that. And it destroyed. Think about this. He stayed, he stopped on that journey. The Bible says he stopped on the journey to Canaan land. He was going to Canaan land where he might find God. He was going to Canaan where Bethel is, the house of God. And he stopped on the way because he just got tired of the journey. He got tired of carrying this grief. And where he stopped, he might have even named it after his son, because it's the place he lives is the same place that of his son's name, Haran. Coincidence? I don't know. But he may have just named it that. And the fact of the matter is he stayed there. And then God called Abram out of there, and he left them. And then he was all alone because his other son, Nahor, didn't come with him. And then Lot left with Nahor, and Sarah left with Abraham, and Lot left with Abraham, and he was alone. And so he refused to go, and he died there in Haran. 60 years. And we know what Abraham did. Terah lost the influence of his own children. He didn't get his children back. His children never came back. Matter of fact, when he died, Abraham went and got him and brought him to the land of Canaan because it was the place that he's supposed to have gone. And the fact of the matter is, Abraham went there and he made mistakes because he no longer had the guidance and the direction of influence of his dad. He went to Egypt and he took a handmaiden, and we know Ishmael came from that. And then the consequential wars continue today because of that. Listen, you make mistakes, major mistakes, if you don't go through your trials. We have two Bible characters, we have two trials, and we have two different endings. We know what God says and what He wants us to do. I've told you that in Hebrews 12:1. He says to lay aside, and we know that in Philippians 3:13, we have to forget. And we know that if we don't do that, there's a price to pay for that. And what happens, I've seen many people not choose to go through trial with God's help, and they end up Christians are lost. They destroy their lives. They go to alcohol for some relief, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, going through a trial, God wants you to have His joy. Well, let's talk about that for just a moment here. John 10:10 says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have more abundantly. Hey, are you listening? God wants you to have life more abundantly. I've always taken that to myself and said, God, I'm excited. You're a God that loves me and wants my life to be great. But I got to choose. If I will follow God, I will find those abundant blessings. It's your choice. It's my choice what we do. God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have joy. And you will not go have abundant life without God's joy. Okay? So listen, John 15:11 says this. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy. He doesn't want you to have your joy. He wants you to have His joy. He says that you might have my joy, and my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You know, if you can have full joy, you can have just a little joy. And the fact of the matter, three things that I want to tell you, three things joy doesn't do. Joy doesn't dissipate or disappear your trial. Paul and Silas were in that jail. That didn't dissipate it. Number two, it doesn't speed the trial process. The Bible says in James 1:4, it says, let patience have her perfect work. Patience. God says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And we're always wanting to get through a trial. Man, we don't want to bear the burden. And God, we want to hold on. I can make it. But the fact is, you're going to lose out by not going through that trial. There are blessings to have. There is fruit that God wants to benefit your life and the others that see you go through that. Listen, some things that joy can do. It can increase or it can decrease. Joy creates strength. Nehemiah 8:10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. It demonstrates faith, and faith pleases God. So if you want to please God, have joy in your life. It establishes hope in trials. It welcomes, here's what I love. This is where you see it in Paul and Silas. It welcomes God to get involved. They prayed and sang praises unto God. And as soon as that happened, you know what happened. A great earthquake came, and all the doors opened up, and the shackles fell off. And the jailer was about to take his life, but Paul saw that, and he cared enough because he wasn't trying to get even with them. He cared about people. Joy makes you care, get your eyes off of you and get your eyes on others. Paul said, you know what? Hey, he said, you know what? Let that dude take his own life. He deserves that. He had part of this. No, he said, do thyself no harm. And he came in and he said, what must I do to be saved? And you know the outcome of that. He and his house were saved that night. And great things took place. And that's why God brought him there. That's why he said, don't go to Asia. And he said, he forbid him to go to the other place. He said, go here. I'll use you. I've got a specific job for you to do. How can your joy increase? We're going to do this in a couple minutes. Listen to this. You need to know this. One, ask. James 4:2. You have not because you ask not. Luke 11:13. How much more shall your heavenly Father give of them the Holy Spirit that ask of him? Hey, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 is love, joy, peace. I'll be honest with you. Until I started going through this physical trial, I didn't really focus on joy. I asked God for his fruit. And bear, you know, we've always been trained to pray for power. And we emphasize one and don't see the importance of something else. But God, I see now more than ever the importance of joy. I decided when I got the diagnosis that I needed surgery, I've already had one, when I got the diagnosis, and then that I said, you know what, God, you brought this. This is God brought. This isn't man doing. Maybe it came through those COVID shots that I took or something stupid like that. That's not its fault. That's you allowed that. I don't care the means it came to me. You brought this trial in my life, God. And I don't know if I'm going to live 30 days or 30 years, but you know what? Like Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If I'm going to heaven, I don't have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning 6 days a week anymore. You know, praise the Lord. You know, I've lived, the last night I got 3 hours and change. The night before I got 3 hours and change. And Sunday night I got 4 hours and change. That's, you know, that you get tired of that after a while. But the fact is that I decided, God, I want to go through this trial, and I want to bear the fruit of this trial, and I want the benefits of this trial, and I want to let this trial go to waste. And I don't care what you go through. Dr. Howell said about trials, he said, it's not if you go through them, it's when you go through them. You will go through trials. Your trials are maybe littler ones right now, but you will go through them. Maybe your trial is your roommate borrowing your clothes. Well, let me just tell you something about the enemy to joy quickly. The enemy to joy is anger. And anger, James 1:20 says, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Stay with me now. We're landing this plane. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And wrath, before you have anger, you're going to hit frustration. How many have ever gotten frustrated before? How many get frustrated daily? That's me. You know, and you know what it is. You're not handling my equipment right, and you're cutting me off on the highway, and you didn't clean your room, and you know, I don't care what, I'm talking to my wife. Get your room clean. I'm kidding you guys. By the way, my wife knows that I was telling this story, and I look, if you're there's a wonderful story how we came together. Our verse we put on the thing that our wedding announcement was like, "This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." That was our verse because God did something special. And it was going to be hard to top what he did the first time when he opened the windows of heaven, but he did it, and I love it. And I love my wife, and I love my family, and I love my boss, and I love my church, and I love my pastor, and I love my life, and I love the will of God, even if it involves cancer. And if cancer involves death, praise the Lord, I'm on my way to heaven. Hey, count it all joy. And frustration is the step before anger. And anger works not the righteousness of God. But it is a training ground. When you hit frustration, you're not being an awful sinner, you're being a human being. But it's a training ground for you to learn to say, "God, I need this fixed. And I want to involve you in fixing it. And I want to count it joy, and I want to humble myself, and I want to prefer others than myself." That's usually what the frustration is. It's that someone's doing something you don't like. And I want to prefer others over myself. And so you become more humble, and that allows joy to enter into the situation, and God illuminates you in their eyes and other people's eyes. Count it all joy when you're criticized. When do you count it all joy? When you're driving and get cut off, count it all joy. When should you do this? When a person asks you out, tells you to get lost, count it all joy. When should you count it all joy? When there's more bills than money. When should you count it all joy? When you desire to have a child more than anything, and that will never be fulfilled. When should you count it all joy? When your parent or sibling passes away, or spouse. When should you count it all joy? When your health is taken away. Going through trials, don't carry your grief. Don't carry the burden. Don't carry the pain. Lay it aside, and forgetting those things, refocus on that which is ahead. Let me share you some important things real quick. James 1:4 says, "But let patience have her perfect work." Don't try to rush through the trial I mentioned already. Be patient. Understand that God is working in that trial to do something. There will be a blessing of fruit in that. You remember that relationship thing I told you I went through? You know, when I got done with all that, I looked back and said, as hard as that was, as painful as that was to go through, God, I realized that I got a depth of God's love I never had before. I realized how wonderful it was what I had received as a benefit of going through this trial the way that God wanted me to. I said, "God, I would go through that again if I can have another depth of your love." I didn't want to go through it again, but I would, because in a trial, God has a purpose, and he's got blessings, and he's got benefits, and he's got fruit that he'll bless you with if you take the time. Hey, you know the three Hebrew children, when they went into the fiery furnace and Nebuchadnezzar saw a fourth one that was likened unto the Son of Man? You know what? What they were bound in hand and foot fell, burned off. And you know what? They were walking around freely. And you know what? They weren't running out. Weren't they going out? You know why? Because Jesus was there. And in your trial, if you go through it the correct way, Jesus will be there, and you'll be like, "God, this is good. Only good is going to come from this." What the Bible says, he said, all things work together for good to them that love God. Even the trials I go through in life, even the trials you go through in life, God cares. Well, then also count it all joy. The last thing I want to say is this. It says, "Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect in attire, wanting nothing." You know what I realize? That only thing perfect in me is Jesus. And so through this trial, he's trying to make me more like him. He's trying to make me more like Christ-like. And I tell you what, I'm not impressed with Wes Wilson, but I'm glad Jesus is in me. And I praise his name that I can become more Christ-like. I want to be less like Wes Wilson and more like Jesus. And count it all joy. That's what I need. That's what you need. That's what I want. And I hope that's what you want. So count it all joy.